This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Welcome to episode 574 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. My name is Jason. So in today's episode, it is a recap of the amazing conversation I had with Mark Michelson for this week's episodes. One of the interesting things about Mark that I appreciate is that he's coming to this from a sales perspective and not a academic research perspective. Now, I have a wide range of people that are on the show for this season, and some are long-term academics, some are shorter-term academics, but very research-focused. Some of them are like Mark, where sold for a long time, bring in all that experience with them, bring in all that energy, the stories and everything to the students, but not focused on the research. And I appreciate that about Mark because he's bringing that real world aspect to the classroom. And I know from being in class and talking to enough other people who went through, say, business classes or entrepreneur classes or marketing classes where the professor has never worked in the field and they're teaching the theory of all those things, it's tough because the students know that and they want to know what actually works, not what the book says works. And so Mark brings that perspective, which I really love. And some of the things that stood out in the conversation in the first part, when we talked about authenticity, you know, he was talking about that and focusing on that, obviously, because that's what the conversation was centered around. But what he said that really hit me the most is what's missing is the art of the conversation. So what's missing is the ability to go back and forth and have a conversation. And I think part of it is, you know, that's missing in general in sales, where salespeople just don't have that art. I think that's something I don't always look at generational differences, but the, you know, baby boomers and or my generation, like raised with conversations, not raised with technology, no internet, you know, three channels when I was growing up, and it was conversations, right? Like that's what you did and that's how you interacted, and conversations in person. The phone wasn't a huge thing. It was, but you know, you had one phone line at the house. It was, hey, you know, can you come out and play? And then you played and you talked to people, or, you know, it was used to, hey, can we come over and visit? And then you visited, right? It wasn't about long, long conversations on the phone. It was about in-person stuff. And I think what's really missing is that art of the conversation. And some of it is generational. Some of it is younger generation with internet and technology and the access to so many things and being able to communicate in ways that we couldn't have imagined growing up. And, you know, in that mode, right, with texts and social media platforms and direct messages and that kind of stuff, where you just lose that. And I find myself losing that art of conversation sometimes when I'm really focused on, you know, messaging back and forth, you know, and just kind of like chatting with different people, especially if I get stuck in a trap of where I'm doing scalable messaging. So let's say I'm doing a lot of direct messaging on LinkedIn and a lot of chatting with people that way, or emailing correspondence back and forth. And then it's like, get on the phone with someone and it's like, it's been a little while, right? Like it could get a little rusty if you're not careful. And I think that's important. And I think the future of sales is about that conversations. In fact, I just wrote a guest article for a website, IBA Inc., which is some fantastic business brokers in the Seattle, Washington State, now Oregon area. And I wrote about part of the fact that one of the things that a lot of business owners are seeing right now is this older generation, the baby boomers, if you will, retiring and leaving the industry, or people just getting out of sales at a certain point. They've been in it for a long time, right? And it's not just that it's not just an age thing, but it's more of a veteran status thing, right? Somebody who's been in sales for 20, 30 years, they have the art of conversation. They have the art of relationship building. They have the art of so many things that they just do. They were raised with that. They were in that generation where that's all you had as a salesperson, not technology, not texting, not cell phones, not internet. You just had conversations and relationship building, and that's what you did. And then that group is just starting to retire and leaving these vacancies in these businesses, and businesses are struggling because they're bringing new people in, and that new salesperson does not have that same art and ability and experience with conversations and relationship buildings. And it's not always a generational thing. Sometimes it's a new to sales and it just don't have that muscle memory yet, right? They don't have that skill. And I think that's one of the big things tying this in with what Mark said was what's missing is the art of the conversation. So if you're listening to this, you're in sales or you're leading a sales program or you're building a sales team as an owner or an executive, is make sure you focus on helping everybody improve their ability to have conversations. Just have conversations, right? Be, and you could call it role playing, but just get good at conversations. It's funny because this takes me back to another story that I was thinking about, is that I had a telemarketer manager. This is 2010-ish. And it was my first time running telemarketers like on my own. I had a manager who was doing it, Rob. He was amazing. This guy was a machine. I would watch him hand dial 300 to 350 people a day, hand dial from a desk phone, right? Other people are like, oh, I'm doing like 20 calls a day. I'm amazing. He's like 350 hand dialed calls a day, like a machine, to qualify people for this program. And so he would bring people in, and here's what he would do, because he was the master at conversation. He came from car sales. He came from face-to-face sales. He just was good at talking to people. Is he would, in front of a new group of trainees, is he would make calls, and then he would literally, not even talking about the program, he would just talk to people as long as possible. He would turn a cold call into a 20 to 30 minute conversation, not even about the program, not even about credit cards or debt or helping with anything, like literally just chatting to somebody. And then he would hang up the phone and show everyone's like, just talk to people. It's just easy. They're a person. They're a human. Just chat with them. And then that would be his challenge when he would have new people get on the phones, is he'd be like, don't worry about generating leads. Don't worry about qualifying anybody. Don't worry about the business side of things. Just talk to people and get used to that. And then we'll add the other parts in. And so that's really important. And I love what Mark said about what's missing is the art of conversation, because it's so true. It's what people crave. It's what potential customers want. It's what we all want. We want a conversation. It's why the episode I made on for Monday this week, episode 570, is all about listening, right? And the listening part is to be a good at a conversation, and being a good conversationalist is saying things, asking questions, actually listening and going back and forth, but not making it all about yourself. And so like, I know I'm focusing on this one part that Mark said, but it was so fundamental, and it's so fundamentally missing. It's important. Second part that he said, I can tell this is going to be a long recap, but stay with me on this, is he said, if you didn't check it out, one of the big things he said was that the customers are giving you the answers to the test. So important, because what happens when you do your sales process correctly? And there is a correct way to do it with some fundamentals, like the authentic persuasion pathway would show you. There is some fundamentals to do it correctly with what people are seeking. Now, there's tactics and strategies and things you can do that you can layer on top of it, and things that you say, and that's the nuanced stuff that you can add in, and you've got to be flexible. But there's some fundamental things that you have to do properly. But when you do them properly, and when you move through those five stages of the authentic persuasion pathway, you do what Mark is saying, which is getting them to tell you everything that you need to know to pass the test. Now, what is the test? Well, it's closing the sale. What a lot of people think, it's me versus you, and I've got to use these tactics, and I forget which guest said it, but it's like motions and tactics, and I got to do this, and I got to cut here, and I got to ask for the close, and I got to do, you know, three trial closes, and, you know, don't take no, you know, 18 times before it's a yes, or like, there's all these things that people focus on, but they're misguided, because when you do it properly, and you ask questions, and you actually listen, your customers will tell you the answers to the test. And the test is how to get that sale closed. What happens, I see a lot of people in sales, they don't listen, they don't ask questions, they don't actually care. They're so brainwashed by the company that they're only focused on the product and not the human that they're talking to. And they literally try to steamroll themselves into sales without actually studying for the test. And studying means being a good human, having a conversation with another human, which is on the back of what Mark said in part one. So remember, customer is always giving you the answers to the test. If you are studying properly and studying by having a good conversation, you will get the answers to the test, which is so important. Last part here in part three that was a standout moment for me is put yourself in their shoes was something that he said. And that happens, I'm going to say infrequently from what I see. I'm a little biased because companies bring me in sometimes to help their winners win more, but sometimes because they have challenges and we need to get people performing, right? Like I'm that performance coach to help people who are not right where they want to be get to where they want to be, right? Get that last bit. And so sometimes I'm biased because I see the stuff that's missing or broke and then, you know, I want to fix that. So I don't always interact with a lot of salespeople who are doing amazing and doing things right. And so again, it's a little biased, kind of like the police, right? Like they mostly deal with people who do something wrong. And so it kind of makes them biased over time where they're just looking at what's wrong. And it's just fair, right? It's just human nature. So, but what I can say is that I don't see it enough where people put themselves in the shoes of their potential customers. One of the biggest things I train so many teams on, especially newer reps, is what's the value of this for that person? And they're like, well, and they spouting off what the brochure says and what the company trained them in their product training. But like, I'm like, what does it actually mean to that person? And most of the times they don't know. And I'm like, well, then ask them and then put yourself in their shoes and think about it. You're selling marketing automation software and you're calling marketing managers. What is their life like? What are they dealing with? What is their KPIs? What are their pressures? What is their stress? Like, what is their boss expecting from them? What are they dealing with? What other idiots, outside of them do they have to tolerate or put up with or expect results from, right? Like this ad person here, this creative over here, this person. What is sales doing to them and blaming them for, right? Like all these different things where you've got to put yourself in their shoes. And it's so important. When you do that, then you can help move people forward, right? Because now you're coming from a place of empathy. And empathy versus sympathy is so important. There's such a huge difference with that because empathy is about, I understand where you're at. I can feel where you're at and your issue, your pain, or your goal. And I want to get you to a better place. Sympathy is, I feel your pain. I can see where you're at. That sucks. Let me come into a sucky place with you. Let me commiserate with you and let's both be miserable together, right? And there's a place for both. In sales, it's like, hey, you're here. I want to help you get to a better place. I don't know what that better place is yet. I want to help you get there. And you can only do that when you put yourself in their shoes. Otherwise, you're trying to do a one size fits all and people can feel that. And that's, again, what's wrong with sales. Lastly, and this is why I brought up in the very beginning that Mark, coming at it from an experienced sales side, he said no matter what, and no matter how much tech is involved, be responsive. And Barry Erickson from UW said the same thing in the fact that what made him successful was he would take calls all the time. Sometimes that's a good strategy. Sometimes it's not. It's good to have a balance with sales, business life, family life, things like that. But being responsive no matter what is important. Don't let days go by. Don't let too much time go by. If somebody has a question, they call you, they text, they email, something like that. They reach out to you. Be responsive. That's what people want. Remember right now, and again, I'm in an age demographic that wasn't raised with technology. So it's not a generational thing of being spoiled and impatient, but I am spoiled and impatient. I expect things right away. For example, if I'm trying to buy something, right? I need something for my business. I want to sign up for some software. What I hate I won't say capital H because that's really strong. What I really, really, really dislike is I go to a website. I want to check out a demo or I want to find out more information. I want to see the pricing. I can't. It's behind some kind of email form hell wall that's in my way. It's like, oh, you want to see a demo? Oh, you want to see pricing? Well, one of our specialists will call you. I'm like, that sucks. First off, that sucks. Second of all, I fill out those forms. Wait, day? 2 days, 3 days. I've had ones where they never responded ever. And I'm like, wow, this sucks. And if I'm thinking about it and it's urgent now and it's important now, I want help now, right? And that's the way your customers feel. So always remember that. Like put yourself in their shoes and then think about yourself if you were them and when you're a customer in your life, What do you want? So there's my kind of expanded thoughts on the stuff that Mark said in the episode. If you didn't check it out, if you're just coming here for the cliff notes of all the golden nuggets that Mark said, please make sure to go back and check out episodes 571, 572, and 573, where Mark and I talk about authenticity, persuasion, and the future of sales. And until next week, thank you for being here, and thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.